Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eternity, where love never fails. Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening. This is the Eternity Bible Study Podcast, where we walk through the Bible together every weekday, Monday through Friday. We're podcasting from here in the United States and in Zambia with a goal to share our thoughts and encourage one another as we read God's Word together verse by verse. My co-host in Zambia, Matali, and I are both listening to Through the Bible Podcast and then sharing our thoughts and encouragement with you. From America to Africa and everywhere else, God is in control. As always, our attribution goes to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. So if you've ever wanted to try to read the Bible every day, we hope you can join us. We're regular people, just like you, trying to learn more about God and walk in step with His Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bible, feel free to read along, and if not, no problem. We'll try to put it all together for you. So let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We're back in the book of 2 Samuel. We'll be coming to chapter 7. McGee calls chapter 7 one of the most important books probably in the Old Testament. It's certainly, he considers it a focal point of 2 Samuel. This is the Lord's covenant with David, or sometimes referred to as the Davidic covenant. It's discussing the eternal throne of Jesus Christ. McGee says all of the prophets hereafter refer to this covenant. Jesus refers to this covenant. And even in Revelation, Jesus refers to this covenant. It is the pivotal point of the Old Testament. So basically, David is talking to Nathan, one of his advisors and prophets. Nathan was a prophet. I don't know if this is the same Nathan that is his son, because he did have a son named Nathan and a son named Solomon. The son named Nathan, eventually, from his household came Mary, and from his son Solomon, eventually, from his household came Joseph. But in any event, David is talking to the prophet Nathan, who's there with him, probably in his house, or maybe around his palace. So David, so as we'll start off, in chapter 7, verse 1, "Now when the king had lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said," this is David saying to Nathan the prophet, "see how I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." So David is sort of saying to Nathan, look, you know, the Lord is living in a tent. I'm living in a house of cedar. He's implying that he wants to build a house for God. And, of course, Nathan is saying, you know, do what you need to do. But it's not really inspired advice. But then we see in verse 4, "But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in?" Kind of a rhetorical question. Like, no, you can't. I'm too big. "I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" No, he didn't. "Now therefore, thus You shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts. So now he's telling Nathan what to tell David. And he's saying, tell David, this is from me. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I've been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. In other words, God says, all these great things have happened to you because I did it for you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones on the earth. In other words, we can't make our own great names. God makes our great names. So many of us try to do great things and try to make a great name for ourselves. But God's doing the work. The great name comes from God. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. In other words, God says, you don't need to make me a house. I'm going to make you a house. And McGee says, you just can't outgive God. You want to try to do something for God, He is going to always do more for you. Why? Because He loves you so much. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, in other words, after you die, David, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. In other words, he's talking about Solomon, but he's also talking about Christ. So David will have a son, but the eventual son will sit on this throne forever. Solomon will build him a house, but the real house of the Lord will be Christ's kingdom. And the house that Christ is building is for all of us to dwell in. I will be a father to him, and he shall be to me a son. He's talking about Christ here. That's what he said when Jesus was baptized. Remember, this is my son who I am well pleased. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. This confused me a bit. My study Bible didn't mention it, but McGee talks about this, and it's like he's talking about Christ, and then when he commits iniquity, does Christ commit iniquity? No, he doesn't. But he takes the iniquity of all of our sins upon himself. And then God allows him to, quote, be disciplined. God allows him to bear the punishment for the sin. From the stripes of the sons of men. He's talking about the cross. But my steadfast love will not depart from him. So in other words, he's talking about raising up Christ on one hand to sit on the throne and will have a kingdom forever. But at the next part, he's talking about being put down on the cross. And your house, verse 16, and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. So in other words, after Jesus goes to the cross, then that's what establishes his kingdom forever, because it allows us to be saved and be a part of that kingdom. Otherwise, we're all doomed to perish. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. This is the covenant God is going to establish through David's household.
a kingdom that will last forever and will fulfill the kingdom of David. It will build on the kingdom of David, and it will come through his household. It's talking about Solomon, but transitioning to Jesus Christ. Verse 18, then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you've brought me thus far?" In other words, David, even after all these military victories, he's the king, he's the most respected and popular person. He says he's nothing. What is my house? It's nothing. And yet, this was a small thing in your eyes. O Lord God, you've spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come, and this is instruction for mankind. David gets it. This is going to be for all mankind. O Lord God, and what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God, because your promise and according to your own heart have brought all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore, you are great, O Lord, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to his people, making himself a name, and doing for them great and awesome things by driving out before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, a nation and its gods. In other words, there's no one that compares to God. And you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever, and you, Lord God, became their God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, it may please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. Wow. David's prayer. He considers himself nothing. God's told him that he's been the one who's built up his good name. We don't make a good name for ourselves. God makes the good name for us. And we're nothing before God. And God's doing all the work. So this is the Davidic covenant. It is the promise that we have in Jesus Christ. We need to search for God and his will and not worry about building the good name for ourselves. We're going to stop here. We're going to turn the rest of this podcast over to our co-host in Zambia, Mitali, if she's able to record. Mitali, I hope you're doing great. Look forward to hearing your take on this study today. As always, from me to all of you, God bless you. Keep your hearts centered on Christ on this great spiritual battlefield. We'll see you here next time tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Friday as we continue our study through this book of 2 Samuel. And as always, our prayers go up for Sweet Emma and Sweet Jean.
Hello. So today's teaching is coming from 2 Samuel, beginning at chapter 7, verses 1 through to verse 29. So we have God's covenant with David in this chapter. So the New Testament actually opens here because it gives us the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it opens with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So the promises God made to David are to be fulfilled in Christ. And, there are actually 59 references of David in the New Testament, and the Old Testament prophets actually based the kingdom on this particular covenant of the Lord, of God with David, on the same, this very promise. Scripture that I can quote based on this promise is from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, and it reads, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth." So this actually became a theme song in the Old Testament, you know, of the Old Testament prophets. They spoke about it, the coming of the Savior, a branch from David, and, you know, the covenant of God and David. So scripture reads, verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 7, "Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in the house of the Lord, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside his tent curtains.'" So inside tent curtains. "Then Nathan said to the king, 'Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.'" Okay, so the background of this is, you know, David took Jerusalem, and David built his house, rather, Hiram, the king of Tyre, who was David's friend, helped him build a house on Mount Zion. So he built his palace on Mount Zion. Then David brought up the ark to the city of Jerusalem, and David told Nathan the prophet that, you know, he was dwelling in a house of cedar, but, you know, the ark of God dwelt within, you know, curtains, a tent. And here we have a case where a prophet was totally wrong. Nathan, you know, as a prophet, he was wrong, because he advised the king to go and do all that's in his heart, because David wanted to actually build a temple for God. You know, David's heart was in the right place, but it wasn't his place to build a temple for God. So Nathan, you know, built a temple for the Lord, and David has indicated before that, you know, he's a bloody man. He's a man of war. You know, David indicated this before, long before he had committed the sin, you know, the horrible sin that's we're going to look at later on. But it's in David's heart. Scripture reads, verse 4 to 6. "But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in?' Verse 6, 'For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle.'" Okay, so God has, you know, had to actually correct Nathan. So God told Nathan to go and tell David that he never asked David or any of his people to build him a house. God dwelt in a tent with his people. So God identified himself with his people. That's why he dwelt in a tent. He identified himself with his people. That's why God came down to earth and took upon himself all humanity. And in the book of John, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So dwelt here means to pitch his tent. So his tent was made of flesh like you and me. He came down here to identify himself with us. So verse 7 of scripture goes on to read, wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? So God actually said he never asked anyone to build him a house of cedar. This was David's idea, and God gives him the credit for it. It wasn't God's idea. Verse 8 goes on to read, now therefore thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people of Israel. So here God now tells David what he's done for him and what he's going to do with him. So David was a shepherd boy, and God chose him and made him ruler over God's people. Verse 9 goes on to read, and I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. So, in God's book, David actually ranks as one of the great men that's ever lived on the earth. He ranks top among, the best, even the men that we might rank today. Verse 10 goes on to read, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, then that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. So this is what the Lord will do. So this is in God's covenant with David. And this was over 3,000 years ago and has not yet been fulfilled. It has not yet been made good. So God's going to make good of it. So God always makes good of it. Always keeps his covenant and his promises. Verse 11. It goes on to read, since the time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from your own enemies, also the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. Okay. So God says to Nathan here that he should go and tell David that he will make him a house. He will make him a house. And we can't do anything for the Lord. We just can't. Whatever we do is filthy rags. So God will turn around and do it for us and give us blessings. He'll give us more. So today, let us, Today we have a lot of poor people around. That's because we do so little for the Lord. We don't even have time for the Lord, and we are not even in a position where He can do a great deal for us. So we should be generous with God and give Him our time. Verse 12 goes on to read, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, and who will come from your body, I will establish his kingdom." Okay, so here God is saying to David, he will make David see after he who will establish the kingdom. So this was the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13 goes on to read, "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of the kingdom forever." So here, we're talking about Solomon here, and he's the next in line. So the kingdom goes beyond Solomon, way beyond Solomon, and looks onto the future. So the throne is the throne of David that's being talked about here. Verse 14 reads, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son if he commits iniquity. I will chasten them when the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men." So here, the Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, said to Mary, "I ascend to my Father, your Father," and he's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's because of his position in the Trinity. So he also, he's also our Father, and this is by regeneration to us. So this is a regeneration to as many who actually have received him. When we receive Christ as our Savior, as our Lord and personal Savior, to them, given the right they've given the right to become the sons of God, even to those who simply believe in his name. You automatically become a son of the Father. So here, when guilt is laid upon one person, he will be his father, and he has so when guilt is laid upon him, he will be his father and he his son. So God the Father and God the Son, this is the Trinity. But if he actually commits iniquity, when he commits iniquity, that's when iniquity is laid upon him. So, and then our sins are laid upon Christ Jesus. So, with his stripes, we are healed. We were actually healed because he bore our sins for us. So he died on the cross for us. He was delivered for our offenses. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross, that we may be dead to sin, that we may live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed from sin. So he bore our grief and carried our sorrows. With his stripes, we are healed of sin. Verse 15 goes on to read, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed before you. Whom I removed before you. Yeah, sorry. So that was just verse 15. And, you know, though the line of David actually sinned grievously, God went on through it to carry out his purpose of bringing in that line of Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from the line of David. Verse 16. Okay. Reads, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. So, here I'm going to refer to Psalms 89, verse 34, which reads, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the words that has gone out of my lips. So here, the Lord is promising not to break his covenant. The Lord's covenant always goes through. So God thought this was actually very important. That's verse 16. Verse 17, I'll read down through to verse 19. It reads, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. Verse 18, then King David went in to then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord? Whom am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought for me? So you have brought this far, and yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God, and you have also spoken. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Okay, so here they were looking for one to come, and he was to be the seed of a woman. He was to be from Abraham, so he is to come from the tribe of Judah. So now we are told it will be the family the seed of the woman was to be from Abraham, and he is to come from the tribe of Judah. Now we're told he will be the family of David, so he will be in David's line. And David's actually overwhelmed by this, what he's told, that God will build him a family. So God gives him folds. Verse 20 goes on to read, okay, now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God knows your servant. So here, God knows us, and he's gracious to us and merciful. Verse 22, I'm going to drop down, and it reads, therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you according to all that we have heard with our ears. So God is good, and they're praising God. Verse 23 goes on to read, and who is like your people, Israel? The one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name and to do for yourself great and wonderful things, awesome deeds, for your land before your people. Whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt and nations, the nations and their gods. And I'm going to drop down to read verse 25. Verse 25 reads, now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning let me just read that again. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever. And do so, do as you have said. Actually, yeah. So this became David's salvation. And at the end of his life, that's in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, he actually said it. Let me just turn to 2 Samuel 23. Verse 5 reads, although my house is not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. So here, okay, this became David's salvation, and yeah, it's actually mentioned in 2 Samuel, the book I just read. So David rests upon what God has promised, and God made a promise to us that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And David believed God. Will you believe? Will you believe God today? So he wants us to actually believe in him if we trust Christ as our Savior, and that's his covenant with. That's his covenant with us today. If we trust him and believe in him, we receive salvation. So this is our teaching for today. Thank you all for listening. God bless you and have a pleasant day. Bye-bye.